in it, maybe. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant. And praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and wounded up, bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of stars. He calleth them all by their names. Can anybody tell me how many stars there are, approximately? Any guess is probably as close as what I found. There's 200 billion trillion stars, approximately. God compareth counting the heavens to little grains of sand on the beach. We try to control things, the weather, the climate change, and just reminds me of how small we are compared to how big God is. Josh is going to have the devotions and Marcus the message. Let's sing song number 347.
each and everyone. Just want to thank you and for coming today, and want to welcome you to the house of the Lord to worship with. We can worship together. Just thankful. Want to invite the visitors and the ones that weren't here last Sunday. Just welcome you back, and let's remember the ones that couldn't be here today, and they want to be, or they didn't want to be, don't want to go to church. Just remember, we need to remember them too, that they need a Savior just as much as we do. So this morning, the beautiful snow just makes you think of how great our Creator is, how perfect He is. And there was a story, if God is bigger than us, and yet He's in us, then surely He should show through us. So if God is in us, it should be coming out, because He's bigger than us. This morning I was thinking a little bit about Thanksgiving, and we need to be thankful no matter what life brings us. We always have a Creator up in heaven to look to, and He cares about us and loves us no matter what. This morning I'd like to talk kind of about Thanksgiving and gratitude. Gratitude is an attitude of being thankful. Thankfulness is not really an action, it's something that you show through actions. As we read in Philippians 4:4-9, "Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God, and the God of peace, shall be with you." So here it's talking about, in verse 6, it says, first of all, it talks about rejoicing in the Lord, and then in prayer. So we need to express our thankfulness to God through rejoicing to Him, and then we can give God thanks through prayer and talking to Him. That's kind of, here it's talking more about rejoicing to show God our thankfulness. And then in Psalms 95:1-2, it says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." So here it's talking about singing and making melody and making a joyful noise to show our thankfulness to the Lord. So we can do it through rejoicing and through singing. And then in Colossians 4:2, "Continue in prayer, watching the same, with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may speak it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how he ought to answer every man. So here it's talking about continuing prayer. We need to talk to the Lord and show him our thanksgiving through prayer. A little poem here that goes with prayer, thanksgiving through prayer. We pray when there's a crisis and when things are going bad, but seldom do we talk to God to tell him that we're glad. We pray for things we just must have to make our lives complete, but seldom do we thank the Lord for shoes upon our feet. We pray for those who are not well and need his healing hand, but rarely do we thank him each morning when we stand. He must know that we're grateful, though. We know that he's so smart. He knows what's in our minds and souls and sees inside each heart. But still, could we at least say thanks, our gratefulness express? We say that much to others who have given us much less. So next time when we gather around and bow our head to pray, let's take some time to thank the Lord for all we have each day. Need to remember to thank the Lord for there's always something good in an outcome or in a circumstance. It's whether you look at it with an optimistic view or a pessimistic view, and life is a lot more joyful to live if you can look at it and be thankful for the good things that did come out of it and the good things that you still have from it. Something that I struggle with. So, 1 Timothy 4:1-5. Now a spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to succeeding spirits, seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if that be received with thanksgiving. So here it's talking about the God has created a way for his people, and here it's talking about the disbelievers and the people that want to take what God has created for good and gave and created for his people to use with thanksgiving, and there's for you to make sure that we're follow Christ and don't use his stuff he gave us for the wrong, use it unrighteously, I guess. What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we didn't follow him today? What if God couldn't take time to bless us today because we didn't take time to thank him yesterday? What if God took away the Bible tomorrow because we didn't read it today? What if God took away his message because we failed to listen to the messenger? What if the door of the church was closed because we did not open our heart? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God answered our prayers the way we answer his call to serve us? What if God met our needs like we give him our lives? Just some thoughts that make you think, like, what if God treated us like we treated our fellow people that we were with, and what if tomorrow you would take our Bible away because we don't read it anyway? Or let's just remember that God is sovereign and In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We need to be thankful and remember to praise Him. Whatever, sometimes life circumstances take us where we don't want to go and we think we had a rough day, but really when we go home at night, crawl into bed and pray to God, we need to remember to thank Him that we're still alive to thank Him. Ephesians 5:18. In closing, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So let's remember as we go, not just through Thanksgiving season, but all through our lives to thank God. He's looking for praise. He's looking for honor. That's why He created us with a choice, so that we could choose to thank Him. Let's bow our head, or let's kneel for a silent prayer. I don't have a song pick, so selection.
Thank you. Good morning. Wish the presence of God to be in our midst this morning as I greet you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for being here. Welcome, visitors. Glad you could come this morning. Welcome those listening on the phone this morning that would be glad to be here. We invite you to join in and worship with us. Thank you, brethren, for drawing our minds into the worship service this morning, reminding us of the greatness of God and who He is in comparison to who we are in accordance to Him. And the thought of the devotional of thanksgiving. We have much to be thankful for, starting with our Creator and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, this morning. We are thankful for His blessings, for allowing us to be here, and for His plan of salvation, that we could be redeemed and live above the darkness of this world. For a message this morning, I want to consider the thought of truth. Title of the message, The Freedom of Truth. When you think of truth, I don't know what you think of. But as I'm guessing you all experience similar things as we are involved in this world today. And we consume things that news and whatever we consume. You naturally, or I do anyway, have a natural question of what is truth. What is truth? And we begin to question everything because there seems to be a lack of truth. Lack of truth brings confusion, and we see the results of truth missing in our society today. Of when truth is gone, there is no moral basis anymore. And I think we have to be honest that as we live in a truthless society, that will affect us, and we have to be on guard for there is only one truth, and that is Jesus Christ. We live in a world drowning in misinformation and confusion, and it just seems like it just puts a pit in your stomach, because what do you believe and what don't you believe? We think we know truth. I believe every one of us has an idea that we, as we see these things happening, we think we know what truth is. And we may not. But we can know the one truth, and that's Jesus Christ. And that, let's kind of base our text out of John 8. You can turn to that, and we'll read part of John 8. Excuse me. Charles Spurgeon said, "The truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Let it loose, and it'll defend itself." So we're based on the truth of God's word. Truth reveals itself over time. Truth will prevail, as we will see in Scripture this morning, that truth prevails every time. The definition of truth is truth or verity is a property of being in accord with fact or reality. Truth is what's real. It's what's in accord with reality. John 8, verse 25. Start reading there. Then said they unto him, "Who art thou?" And Jesus saith unto them, "Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understand not. He spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. And the Father had not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spoke these words, and many believed on him. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, even in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father, Jesus saith unto them. If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham, but now ye seek to kill me. The man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, If God were your Father, you should love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was murdered from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is not one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, and of whom you say, He is your God. Yet ye have known him, but I know him, and if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar, and like unto you, but I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast seen Abraham? Jesus saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So as we see in verse 32, And you shall know this truth, and the truth shall make you free. That verse there spoke to me. As we seek freedom, you know, we hear much of freedom. We all want to be free. We want to be free from, we don't want to be in bondage. But as we read through this chapter, that each one of us were or can be in bondage because of sin. Sin is the destruction of truth. First off, we want to look at the nature of truth a little bit. Where does truth come from? Number one, truth comes from the character of God. Throughout Scripture, truth is pointed as a character. It is God. Truth is God. As we see in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus is truth. The basis of truth is based upon him. Numbers 23:19, God is not man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. And he said, And shall he not do it? Or have he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God is not a man that he should lie. God cannot lie. He is truth. I have a number of scriptures this morning, and I didn't spend a lot of time getting the context of some of them. I know you got to be careful just pulling scripture out without getting the context, but So anyway, the truth is Jesus is truth, as we see in John there. In John 18, Pilate was asking, what is truth? If you read in John 18:37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So we see here, Pilate was asking, what is truth? Art thou the king? We hear just in our day, as we read this and we read that, I'm guessing Pilate was in that same, all this information was filtering back to him, and what was he supposed to believe, and what wasn't, and what wasn't truth, and what was truth? Here Pilate's asking that question. Are you who you say you are? Here he says he's a witness to the truth. And everyone that is of truth heareth my voice. Because God is true, whatever he speaks is true. To know truth is to know God. God cannot lie. To know truth is to know God. Another point of the nature of truth is that Scripture points us to truth. Throughout Scripture, the Word of God is considered truth. Over and over again, we'll just read a few portions just to remind us the factual of truth is God's Word. John 17:70, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. God's Word is truth. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. You can turn there if you want. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be made perfect through thoroughly furnishing unto all good works. So we need to believe in our hearts that God's word is true. That's the basis of our coming to Christ, is the belief deep within us that God's word is true and it's not to be challenged. Biblical truth isn't built on my opinions or my feelings or our culture, but it's on God's authority in Scripture. You know, we live in a day and age where people, and we can do this too. We want to interpret Scripture to fit our opinion instead of our opinion fitting Scripture. And I need to remind myself of that. That's why we continually be in the Word, so our opinions and feelings match Scripture, not us trying to match Scripture to how we think and feel. The world says, live your truth. God says, live the truth. Much is made about living and portraying ourselves and lifting ourselves up in the world system. But we are called to live the truth of God. Truth that contradicts Christ is false. It denies the cross and accepts sin. Light does not argue with darkness, as we see throughout Scripture. You cannot mix the two. Light and darkness are separate. Truth separates us from darkness through the Word of God. Another nature of truth is biblical truth is eternal and unchanging. You know, human ideas shift, cultures change, but God remains. Even as we look at culture, just a generation or two, probably older ones think of it more, but how much has actually changed gradually in this, the way life is done through one generation or two, or as we go farther back, it continually changes, whether we like it or not. But God's truth does not. It's the same from the time Jesus walked on the earth till this morning. Isaiah 48, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Psalms 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It seems like this idea that the word of God is still the same word that was in Jesus' time is hard for society to accept, maybe. They try to explain it as it don't fit our times, or whatever the argument would be. But God's word has not changed. It's the same God that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Truth does not evolve. Truth is not subject to a modern revision. Another nature of truth is truth reveals reality. Truth reveals reality. That is a nature of truth. Truth reveals what is reality. Truth always draws a line between light and darkness. John 3:21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Truth brings us to the light. When we are in Scripture, when we are in the will of God and experiencing his truth, it will bring us to the light. Truth exposes sin within our lives, and we don't always like it. Pride hates truth because truth confronts. Wisdom loves truth because it produces wisdom. Truth demands a response. You can reject it or you can receive it, but you can't ignore it. Again, truth demands a response. You can reject it or you can receive it, but you can't ignore it. Truth reveals who God is. It reveals who we are. It reveals why we exist. It reveals right and wrong. It reveals the consequences of sin. And it reveals what happens after death. Those are all things that we should be thinking about. Our world wants to not think about those things. And we lose the basis of our truth, we will not know what to believe on these subjects. But we know from Scripture and the truth of God's word that there are consequences for sin. There is a right and wrong. There is eternal destination. These are all based upon truth. And if the truth is settled in our hearts, we don't have to question what truth is. Now we want to focus just a little bit on this fallen world's war against truth. We can see in Genesis 3, verse 1, right away, Satan is trying to plant a subtle seed there. Genesis 3, 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Here already he's attacking truth. Has God really said? I'm guessing each one of us has asked that question sometime when we're tempted to sin or do something we shouldn't. We want to think in our hearts, do you think God really meant it like that? These are the kind of questions we ask, trying to justify ourselves. But it's the base. If we lose the belief of truth, we're opening the door for sin into our lives. Our culture is rejecting truth because truth brings accountability. Our society, I should maybe say, is rejecting truth. Quote from Charles Spurgeon, "We should not adjust the Bible to the age, but the age to the Bible." It's a quote of our times rejecting the truth to fit what we want to believe. Our world, as we see, it's awful. It wants to redefine morality. It wants to redefine identity. Marriage and right and wrong, all these things are under attack. And we sort of get used to it. We don't think about it. We need to be reminded that truth will stand. Let's turn to Romans 1. Just points us, reminds us of what happens when we lose truth. Romans 1, verse 16, starting there, reveals the state of mankind when we start questioning truth. Romans 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Going from chapter 18 there, what happens when we hold truth in unrighteousness? "Because that which we may be known of God is manifest in them, for God showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but because vain in their imagination and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise and became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God unto an image made like to the corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beast and creeping thing. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use unto which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." I think we can say, we can honestly see the result playing out in this awful description of what truth looks like when it's left behind. And we see it very plainly lived out in society today. All the the confusion that goes with lack of truth. All the, these things that we can't even barely comprehend, but yet it starts in each one of our hearts when we start questioning truth. Another point under the war, the Satan's attack against truth is comfort is more important than truth. As we see that in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4. Comfort is more valuable than truth. Let's read 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4 here. For this time, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap themselves teachers, having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Speaking of turning away from truth, because it's not very comfortable sometimes. I'm guessing each one of us experiences the uncomforts of truth. Truth reveals who we are, and sometimes that's uncomfortable. We'd rather be comfortable than to face truth. And let's avoid that. That's Satan's way of drawing us away. We are to be ambassadors here. This is not our home. We are representing Christ. We're not looking for a comfortable dwelling here on this earth. We realize through the truth of God's word that this is temporary, and we have a place. God is preparing a place for those who choose to stand on truth and be not ashamed, as we see in Romans 1 there. If we're ashamed of truth, I believe we see the effects of that as well. We cannot be ashamed of truth. But we need to stand and represent truth. Charles Spurgeon has a lot of quotes about truth. And sometimes other people can say my thoughts or can clearer than I can. But a quote that I have from here, a lie can travel halfway around the world while truth is putting on its boots. Speaking of truth is... truth is solid and is sure, whereas untruth spreads and can be very undermining. All right, the next point here we want to consider is the effect of truth in a believer's life. You can turn back to John 8. There's focusing a little bit more on this chapter now. First truth, the effect of truth on a believer's life, and the number one point is truth sets us free, is the title that we want to consider. Realizing, as we read John 8 here, the Jews, he was speaking to the Jews that believed on him, but it seems like they did not realize that they could be in bondage. They thought, since they were Abraham's descendants, and they had at one time were considered God's children, they were struggling to grasp the concept here that they are just as much in bondage as any other sinner is or would be. Reminding us this morning that just because of our God, our heritage and our upbringing does not mean that we don't need to be freed from bondage. Just as these Jews were struggling to grasp, we need that reminder as well. Each one of us needs to be set free from the bondage of sin. Verses 34 and 5 in chapter 8, Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. So I think we can honestly say each one of us are sinners. We believe that. So each one of us needs to be freed from this bondage. And it's the effects of truth on a believer's life is the freedom that comes from believing on Him. We often want to find people around us are looking for freedom. We see it. There's bondage. They don't know it. Sometimes we don't know it when we're in bondage. We think the life we want to live is what brings freedom, but it's in reality, it's the life that God wants you to live is where freedom comes from. Freedom comes from knowing truth. We're not going to read Romans 6, but Romans 6 would speak extensively to the bondage of sin. Familiar chapter there. And we just, as reading through there, it reminds me that sin has a severe, sin has a major hold on our lives, and there's only one way out. We can't do it on ourselves. We can't do it through human philosophy or through through any other means but through coming through the blood of Christ and the foot of the cross and experiencing His truth. Truth also sets us free from spiritual ignorance. We could read in turn to 2 Corinthians 4. Verses 1 through 6 in 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Speaking of our minds being open to spiritual freedom, the manifestation of truth within our lives. You know, says thinking of truth, it starts, you know, as parents, we realize that we have to connect reality to truth in our own. In children's lives, it's a benefit to them understanding truth when they get older. And sometimes we don't do the best job at it, but a reminder that we need to face reality and teach reality to our children. You know, some conversations we have sometimes is, you know, some of the natural things of life is probably a good way to teach spiritual truths, but especially in children. But you know, we tell our children that, you know, the reality is if you sit there looking out the window or reading a book, the work don't get done. Sometimes it's easy for us just to fill in the gaps and do the things they are supposed to do. But is that teaching reality? Sometimes that happens. We just, instead of teaching reality, we just fill in the gaps. And little things like that. Another conversation we have sometimes is if we just put chips and cookies in their lunch, the reality is you're going to have a hard time with your schoolwork because you're not going to be able to think. Now, we don't like that truth, and they don't like it, but that's reality. That's how things work. We have to face those facts sometimes, and I think even as parents, that teaches us as well sometimes, like, what is truth and what is reality, and making sure those dots connect at a young age. Truth frees us from guilt. It frees us from fear. It frees us from condemnation. As we see, we are all condemned to die. We are all sinners. As he was teaching the Jews here in chapter 8. Deception. Truth is the opposite of deception. And we seek to be free from that. Deception is a hard thing. Because usually our greatest weaknesses are the hardest for ourselves to see. And the easiest to see in others' lives. So the only way, sometimes, we need brothers and sisters to help us see things in our own lives. They have a way of representing truth into our own lives that we don't always see. We need each other also in representing truth. Proverbs 23:23, buy truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Truth is valuable and it will protect us from deception. We turn back in John to chapter 17. Truth also sanctifies a believer. Verses 16 through 19 in chapter 17. They are not of the world, even as I am not in the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me unto this world, even so have I also sent them into this world. And for their sakes I sanctified myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth. Pointing us to the sanctification of truth in our lives, through the truth of God's word, through the truth of Jesus Christ being within us, through his spirit. Sanctification is a process of being shaped into Christ's image, and the tool God uses for that is truth. Being shaped in the image of God, truth could be considered a God's medicine for the soul, realizing we are sick. And we need to be redeemed. Truth is part of that sanctification. So how is our truth intake? Are we receiving truth into our lives continually? Truth stabilizes a believer. We can see that in Ephesians 4:14. Let's read a few verses there. Ephesians 4:14. Speaking of the lack of truth and how that plays out in our lives. That henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is a head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and measure of every part, making an increase, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. This I say, brethren, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not after other Gentiles, walking in the vanities of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through their ignorance that is in them because of their blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves here unto lasciviousness to work unto uncleanness with all greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught of him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversations in the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Truth changes us. Paul says here is that without truth we become as little children. But truth changes us. It produces conviction. It produces discernment. It produces strength. It produces spiritual discernment, as we see here. The two opposites contrast: lack of truth and the effects of truth. Truth transforms the believer's character. We all are in need of a character transformation, and as we grow through life, as we, for my own life, we look back across life and you see times of like, how could I actually believe something like that? And how our character changes, hopefully, into the character of God. If we are in truth, our character should continually more and more mirror the image of Christ, whether in our behaviors and our attitudes, through our speech, through our relationships, and through the way we think. The way we think is the way we talk. All these things represent or show forth the truth that we are taking into our lives. Truth makes a believer honest and humble and holy and more Christ-like. It's mirroring the image of God. Truth equips the believer for spiritual warfare. And we can see that in back the next chapter in chapter 6. The first piece of armor that is mentioned is truth in Ephesians chapter 6. We'll just read here of the armor that God is offering us. In Ephesians 6, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil, and taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Truth is the first armor that is mentioned here. It protects us. It protects us from deception, as we already looked at. It exposes the enemy's lies. It grounds us in reality. It gives us confidence as we go out into carnal, to this world. Truth is a confidence builder against the fiery darts of the devil. As I mentioned, Satan's primary weapon is deception. And our primary weapon against deception is truth. Darkness is afraid of truth. And the last point here in the end, considering truth, is truth sometimes brings suffering. It has a cost. Truth doesn't usually come without a cost. As we see the people here at the end of chapter 8 in verse John, they picked up stones because they did not like truth. Truth hurt. And Jesus gave his life for the cause of truth. We see countless thousands and thousands of men through the ages paid the price of giving their lives for the cause of truth. How much are we willing to give for the cause of truth? We really aren't tested in the way some generations were for truth, and we can see the effects in our society. When truth is lacking, there is no moral basis. Romans 2:2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Finally, the final basis of truth is we are going to be judged someday by the truth of God, by the truth that we lived out in our lives. And we live lives in that, with that perspective, with that with that goal in mind of someday standing before God, facing reality. It's not how we think or what we wish was true, but it's based upon real truth. Now, each one of us, the message a couple weeks ago was preached about time, and just thinking of that and of the time we have here, each one of us has a I think God puts a desire in the heart of everyone, maybe some different levels than other, but to make a difference, to be something in this life, to live it out, especially as younger people. God puts that vision and that drive to be successful, that's how the worlds are conquered, new lands are discovered, through that drive that God puts in to discover new things. And that is beautiful when it's based upon truth and upon God's word. That expression can be lived out in carnal ways, but it's God created that that desire to be lived out through truth, and lots of good things can happen from that. The only thing that takes that desire away, I believe, is sin. And the sin, the bondage of sin, takes the desire of the drive to make the best use of the time that God gives us away, and makes us passive and lukewarm. But through freedom of truth, we can be useful in His kingdom in this time that we are given. And it all starts with the foundation of truth within our lives and His plan for us. So thank each one for coming this morning, and desire that we could grow in our walk with Him and be truth, live in reality, live in truth as we live out our calling here. So may God bless you this coming week, wherever you are called. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we, in your presence this morning, we worship you, we praise you for your love for us, for your provisions, for your plan of salvation, for the cross and the resurrection. Lord, we just want to worship you for loving us, providing a way. Lord, pray that we would stand on the truth that you've given us. Lord, help us to understand and grow in our in your word. Pray for your Holy Spirit to be within us so we seek you. Lord, we just pray for each one here and your plan for each one. Pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom, give us direction. Pray for faithfulness, courage. Lord, help us to withstand the pressure, the deception that so easily undermine us, Lord. We just pray that you would be within us and among us. Lord, we just pray for those that couldn't be here this morning. Lord, just ask a blessing upon them. Lord, be near to them. Lord, we pray that as we go forth this week, we ask your protecting hand to go with us. Pray that we could represent you throughout the community through your word and through you working in our lives, Lord. Lord, we just want to pray for Murray Good and his family and their they are just seeking you, seeking your will, Lord. Just be near to them through this time. Just ask a blessing upon them. Lord, we just pray for, as we close this service, that your name could be glorified through things that were said and through our hearts, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Greetings to each one this morning in the name of Jesus. As we gathered here, worshiping God, considering who God is, as we were reminded there in the call to worship, the greatness of God and who we are in reality compared to God. Just the little simple thought of God knowing the stars all by name, calling them, puts us in a place of just considering life and the fact that God has every hair of our head numbered, Scripture says. And so I thank you, Richard, for those thoughts. Just again, challenging our mind that God is in control and we can safely trust in that. And also the thoughts of thanksgiving and gratitude and what that looks like in a child of God's life, and how God would have us to just simply acknowledge some of these things in our life. I was thankful for those reminders. You know, as Josh was sharing, I thought of a little clipping that I have in my Bible. It just something that caught my attention, I guess. But it goes like this. When tempted to complain about your lot in life, think about this. What if tonight, as the shadows deepened, you lost everything you had? Yes, everything was taken away from you. Now spend the night in this condition, alone, having nothing. As the morning light dawns, everything is handed back to you exactly the way you had it. Will you not suddenly feel like the richest, most blessed of any person on the face of the earth? So again, I'm thankful for the thoughts that we heard there in regards to thanksgiving and gratitude, and I was challenged that I let my life show the thanksgiving that I feel and the gratitude that's in my heart for the Lord Jesus. And as we looked at Scripture through the message, and as Scripture spoke to us in regards of truth, considering the nature of truth and what reality is, there's many kind teachings from Scripture on, you know, as Marcus mentioned, it's easy to many times get kind of caught up with just the feeling of the change that's taking place, the many truths that are being challenged and undermined in our world, and we were pointed back to truth, biblical truth, and I appreciated those thoughts. You know, one of the statements was made that truth brings us to the light. And I thought of that song we sang this morning as we started the service. The chorus went something like this: in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. That's a reality of truth. Truth brings us to the light. And as we heard, truth presents, the fallen world presents a war against truth. And there is a cost to the child of God for standing for the truth, for living the reality of the truth in our lives. And I just appreciated the many thoughts and challenges that were given. And for me, to take it now and just apply it to my life is something that is my responsibility now. And may we just be challenged with considering truth and where we find truth, and that as we allow the God of truth to live in our life, as we anticipate that rest beyond the river, that we can live as a redeemed child of God from day to day. So thankful to each of you, brethren, for taking part in the service today and sharing what God laid on your heart. Thank you to each of you for your presence here. Thankful for those that, as was mentioned, are listening on the phone. As we go from this place, may we all feel the presence of God directing and guiding our lives. Looking to announcements here, as was announced last week, I believe, this is not a normal Sunday for a collection, but what is shared today will be applied to the medical fund, and then next week would be our normal medical collection. Looking to the order of service next week, Lord willing, we'll look to Leighton for the call to worship, Justin's turn for devotions, and Terry will share in the message. Singing for the youth tonight, Nevins are hosting that. They plan to go Christmas caroling. They'd like to leave at 7:30. So leaving Nevins tonight at 7:30 to go Christmas caroling. And singing next week, I believe the youth plan to start caroling. So that'll be for the next number of weeks here now. There is a calendar page back there, a sign-up sheet for hosting Christmas caroling. I believe the dates are highlighted, and sign your name by whatever date works for you if you care to participate in that, but there is a sign-up sheet back there, so take a look at that as well. Group 3 is to sing next week at Stonegate. Just thinking a little bit about prayer needs as we go from this place, as we go through the week. There are some travelers with us as they travel back to their responsibilities and respective homes. May we carry them with prayer. Daryl and Regina and their family as they walk the journey that is before them. May we lift them up. Also, as was mentioned, Murray Good is not doing well. May we just again, lift him and his family to the throne as God brings them to our mind. Carlton and Melina, they're in the congregation at Cornerstone. Carlton was ordained minister last Sunday evening. As God brings them to our minds, may we lift them to prayer as well, in prayer. You know, as the responsibilities of life are laid upon people's shoulders, it is very meaningful to know that God's people are praying. May we never underestimate that carrying power of prayer, and we do well to exercise ourselves in that, and so may we just commit to being a prayerful people, standing on the truth, living for Jesus in the coming days. So may God bless each one as we go from here. Oh, there is another, I failed to mention, I think there is some extra soup supper invitations back there. If you know of someone that you would like to give an invitation, there are some back there. Help yourself to those, and those can be handed out. That's all I have here. Is there anything that I overlooked or that needs to be mentioned yet before we close? If not, may we stand for the benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Maybe we can close the service with song number 19. 19.